Today's daf is Sota, daf Lamed Dalet, and we are on Lamed Gimel Amed Beis, towards the bottom as we continue here in this fun-filled Perek, Elu Ne'amarin, all different topics, as we started off the Perek, Elu Ne'amarin, remember, back on daf Lamed Beis, the discussion of what is said B'Lashon HaKodesh and what is said B'chol Lashon, we discussed in the last year about why it's called Lashon HaKodesh, the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether there's something inherent to it or it's based on our behavior with the Lashon. But either way, we continue now with the discussion of Har Grizim and Har Eval and Eber HaYardin. That was the most lengthy discussion we had in our Mishnah about Har Grizim and Har Eval. And we noted that, you know, that though that is a historical event, the Gemara discusses what language were the brachas of the klalos set in. It is a historical event. There is one Rishon, one Gaon, that does count it as a mitzvah. There's a beautiful thought, implicitly a thought, but it's really, we know Rav Sadia Gaon has a Sefer HaMitzvos, but he wrote it a poem. It's 2 pages long, the whole Sefer HaMitzvos. Every word is another mitzvah. Rav Sadia Gaon, Rav Yochanan Fischer Perlau, one of the greats from 150 years ago, wrote 3 big fat volumes explaining every word, 25 pages per word, about what Rav Sadia Gaon thinks. But one of the areas in which Rav Sadia Gaon differs than almost all other Rishonim is that he puts brachos and klalos. He has that in his poem. So what does that mean? Why the brachas and the klalos in the poem? Right? What mitzvah is the brachas and the klalos? Maybe he got it from a whole discussion of our Gemara. Right? What are the brachas and the klalos doing here? You know, that's a historical event. What does that have to do with us? So the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadia Gaon says it's the mitzvah of arvus. It's the mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. That's when we accept it. Arvus, we'll talk about that, Be'ez Hashem. We'll pick up on that today a little bit. But once we cross the Yarden, Hanistaros, L'Hashem Elokeinu, Haniglos, Lono Levaneinu, right, we were obligated, and we were part of Arvus, Kol Yisrael Arevim, the concept of Yatzamotzi, the concept of every Jew being connected. So that started when we crossed the Yarden. And there are halachic issues that came up, as we'll talk about, Be'ez Hashem, in a couple of minutes. So maybe that implicitly was where Rav Sadia Gaon got it from. Again, that has nothing to do with Lashon HaKodesh. Arvus, one could fulfill many different mitzvahs. Some of the mitzvahs that have to be in Lashon HaKodesh, some of the mitzvahs that do not have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Shomea Ka'one is based on Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. Right? If somebody's not a Bar Chiyuva, then I can't be Yotze, even through Shomea Ka'one. They can't be my mouthpiece if they are not a Bar Chiyuva in the mitzvah that I am involved in. So, but maybe implicitly that's part of where Rav Sadia Gaon got it from, that the brachos and the klolos have a message, even bizman hazeh, that's the mitzvah of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, which is a beautiful idea in terms of it being counted as a separate one of the 613.
It also explains why it's here. I mean, if it's not relevant to us.
And it's here, right, exactly. This is why it's halakha l'maisa. Again, not specifically Lashon HaKodesh element, which is the context of the Mishnah, but yeah, that's linked with all the other mitzvos in the Mishnah. Okay, so here we go, Tanur Rabbanan, about 8 lines, 10 lines up on the bottom. Ketzad Av Yisrael Zeh Yarden. How did Am Yisrael cross the Yarden? How'd they cross? B'chol Yom. And those who want more about these stories, feel free to listen to the Navi Shiurim from Sefer Yehoshua, where we discuss these psukim at length in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, when Am Yisrael crossed the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan, that fateful year after the 40 years of being in the desert. Tanur Rabbanan, Ketzad Av Yisrael Zeh Yarden. B'chol Yom Aron Noseya Achar Shnei Degalim. Every day the Aron traveled after the 2 Degalim, meaning half of Am Yisrael. Remember in the Midbar, they traveled throughout the Midbar with the Aron in the center and the Kohanim and Levim around the Aron, and then all the Shvatim surrounding, right? 3 Shvatim on each side, as is described in Sefer HaMidbar. V'hayom nasa tchila, and as they went into Eretz Yisrael, the Aron went first. Nasa tchila, sh'ne'amar, v'hinei Aron habris adon kal ha'aretz over lefechem. Yoshua giving them the instructions, what's going to happen, that Aron will follow, will go, and you will follow the Aron. It's an unusual lashon, Adon Kal Haaretz, to use that A regarding Hashem and B regarding the Aron. Aron Habris Adon Kal Haaretz. The Nitziv writes in Parshas Mishpatim, whenever the word Adon is used, it reflects master, master of the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. That's what Adon reflects, and that's why the Nitziv says, that's why it's used by Shalosh Regalim. The first time we have it is in Perachav Gimel Pazik Yezayin, Shalosh Pamim Bashana, Yeroe Kol Zachorcha El Pnei HaAdon Hashem. Adon. Why is Adon used there? Explains that it's here. We know the Medrash that tells us when all Jews are Ola Regel, imagine all the Jewish communities are ghost towns. There's nobody there. Imagine the security risk. Imagine what's going to happen. All of the stealing that's going to be going on. The Medrash says, says that special protection. There's even Nisim, that there was Malachim that came to dress up as the Jewish families and pretended to be there, so nobody looked like it was empty, but unbelievable Nisim. Everybody's going to know. Everybody knew that Am Yisrael all went to Yerushalayim 3 times a year, right, which is weeks and weeks at a time, that all these communities are empty, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects. That's Adon. That's the Nitziv. Ubebirchasober galim shehema rosh hashana kol regal miyuchalo tsluya kol yeshiv eretz Yisrael. Okay, nitzrachim az lebracha. They're needed, right? That's how you have Adon. So one can suggest, and maybe that's why here too, as they went into Eretz Yisrael, right? Who the master, the one that's leading, the one who's really in charge. That's why he uses Adon dafka now as they go into. As they go to Eretz Yisrael. I think I mentioned in the past also, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a thought where he says, why Dafka the Aron leads them into Eretz Yisrael? They follow the Aron. And Yeshua says, V'halachtem achara, follow it? Because the Aron, notes the Lubavitcher Rebbe, is the most supernatural, natural item. On the one hand, it's made out of raw materials. There's gold and wood and gold and the kruvim and how you're supposed to make it and miksha. All the different details given in Parshas Truma, how to make the aron and its fit and the badim. You know, a lot of things, the badim out. So it's physical. And yet, everything about it is non-physical. It doesn't take up any room. Right? The Chazal tell us aron eina min amida. The Chazal also say that the Aron carried no seyat, no sav. It carried those who carried it. Right? The Gemara doesn't go through it here, but after the Kohanim put their feet into the water, and then the Yardane split, so then they took a step back. So the Yardane closed again, but they were still stuck on the other side. So Chazal tell us that they flew through the air. The Aron took them and flew them to the other side. So the Aron is totally supernatural. So it's natural and supernatural. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Yoshua, V'halachtem achrav, go after the Aron, because this is your existence now in Eretz Yisrael. It's a natural existence with a supernatural existence, right? It's two different ways of looking at life, different than now that you've been in the Midbar. It's all been a supernatural existence. Going into Eretz Yisrael is different. You're going to have to be farmers. You're going to have to work the land. But realize it's also supernatural. So we'll have to get back to that also a little bit later. But that's the Lubavitcher Rebbe's thought. It's quoted in the Biuri Chasidus on Navi. That thought relating to the Aron going first. So that's one difference between now and then. The Aron goes first versus the Aron in the middle. Next difference, B'chol Yom Vayom, Leviim Nosen Es Aron. Every day the Leviim carry the Aron throughout the Midbar. V'hayom Nas'uhu Kohanim. And now, at this time, the Kohanim carried it. Shne'emar, V'ekenoach Kapos Raglei HaKohanim Nosei Aron Hashem V'gomer. The Kohanim carried. Also an important point, why was the Aron carried here differently by the Kohanim than by the Leviim? So this is a big discussion in the Rishonim, between the Rambam and the Ramban. That when the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of carrying the Aron, what would you expect it to say? Who is this mitzvah incumbent upon? We know there are different mitzvahs incumbent upon different parts of our nation. Says the Rambam, mitzvah lamed dalet, shetzivanu sheyisu ha-Kohanim ha-Aron al kitfehem. The Kohanim are commanded to carry the Aron on their shoulders. Kishenirtza laseso sami makom lamakom. When you want to go from place to place. V'hu amar yisaleh ki avodas hakodesh aleim bakasev yiso. V'yafalpi, says the Rambam. Avalpi, implicit question. Avalpi, I know there's a problem here. Shezeh atzivui ba lilevim ba'esahi. Didn't the Leviim carry the Aron? The Ramban asks on the Rambam. We're about to see in one line. We'll look at the next line for a minute. In our Gemara. And I'm going to look at the next slide. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bishloshim Mekomos, Nasu Kohanim Es Aaron. 3 times in history, the Kohanim carry the Aaron. Kishavar Es Yardain, 1. Kshesebu Es Yericho, when they traveled around Yericho. Ukshech Ziru, Limkomo, when they brought it back. We'll do that Rashi Bez Hashem in a minute. Says the Ramban, the Gemara specifically says 3 times the Kohanim carried it, mashma, that all other times the Leviim carried it. And the real mitzvah is the Leviim. So what's the Rambam talking about when he formulates the mitzvah as, it's a mitzvah on the Kohanim to carry the Aron. That's the Ramban's kasha on the Rambam, and he argues, V'yafal pisha zeat tzivui bala Leviim, so the Rambam acknowledges that, bo'esahi, amnam hayazel lemiut mispar ha-Kohanim bizmanahu. There weren't so many Kohanim at that time. That's why they had to include the Levim, says the Rambam. Ki Aaron Arosh, Amnam Ladoros, Chayovin Bemitzvazu, Hakoanim, Vehemi Sa'uhu, Kimosha Hisbayar, Besefer Yoshua, U Besefer Shmuel. Says the Rambam, in the Torah, that's the exception. Yoshua and Shmuel, that's the rule. That's the Rambam. The Ramban says just the opposite. In the Torah, it's the rule. The Levim carrying it, and in Yoshua and Shmuel, it's the exception. Ukeshetziva David, the Rambam continues. Ukeshetziva David, laseisa Aaron befam shnia, vayisu, what does it say? It says, vachem kishazachar bedivar hayamim, chalukas hakonim, goes through, this is the machlokas. If you look in the Brisker Rav, the Griz, in the end of his Sefer on the Rambam, where we've quoted, he has a number of letters there. That we don't exactly know which. Some of them we know which one is which one was written to which person, but he doesn't say explicitly. So there, he has one piece where he talks about this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, and he says that for the Rambam, he thinks there are two mitzvos of Nesias Ha'aron, and there's two different psukim in the Torah. That's always the greatest makar, when the Torah discusses a mitzvah in two different places with two different emphases. So the Brisker Rav says that's exactly what the Rambam thinks. Nesias Aaron Ladoros, Nira Tuhu Milsa Achrisi V'din Acher Lagamrei. There was carrying the Aaron in the years of the Midbar, that was one mitzvah. But that was not a mitzvah Ladoros. Then there's a mitzvah Ladoros forevermore. There's a mitzvah within the Mishkan going from place to place. And then there's just carrying the Aaron various points in history. V'shnei dinim ikim b'nesiyas ha'aron. Chada din nesiyas shal mishkan. V'dino b'leviyim midin avodas masa. When the Mishkan traveled throughout the years, that's part of the avoda in the Mishkan that was done by the Leviyim. V'u'amar b'parshas b'midbar. D'kachashiv sham la'aron b'hadi shar klea mishkan. That's the Aaron as part of all the Kalim. And the Leviyim had that job. Gershuk kahasim merari. That mitzvah ended. And that's why the Rambam doesn't count that. Because the mitzvah has to be eternal. So the Rambam does not count avodas masa. But then, says the Brisker Rav, v'sheinis, ikadin miyuchat shel nesiyas ha'aron amuskar b'krod de parshas ekev. V'hu din b'fnei atzmo, sheinu shayach klal l'din avodas halaviyim. Rak dekenu mitzvas nesiuso b'shevet levi. It says special din, not as one of the Kalim, as a din in Aaron specifically. Because in Yoshua, in Shmuel, you don't have any other Kalim being carried. It's only the Aaron. It's a special din of Nesias Aaron, not as part of the Klei HaMikdash. And that's what the Rambam says. Ladoros is la koanim v'lo levim, mishum de mitzvahs nesiusu ladoros, hu mitzvah acheres, ve'eno midin avodas masa shi b'levim. And the Ramban argues, but this is, continues here on page 154, in the end of the Grizal Rambam, two dinim in the mitzvah of Nesias Ha'aron. It could also be related to, and with this we'll finish and continue, also be related to the story in Sefer Shmuel Beis. We know the tragic story of David HaMelech thinks that it's time to bring the Aaron back to Yerushalayim. It's been sitting in Beit Shemesh for a while. And if you read the Rashi on the bottom here, go through the history, reviews a little bit of history of what happened to the Aaron. It first was in Shiloh, and after the Churban of Mishkan Shiloh, and Eli and his sons were killed, so the Aaron was taken by the Plishtim for a number of years, right? Rashi quotes the whole history. When the Plishtim sent it back on the wagon by itself, it came back, and then it sat in Beis Avinadav, and then finally, after Beis Avinadav had, is Yeshua Beis Hashimshi, Beis Avinadav, the whole history, David tries to bring it back to Yerushalayim. And what happens? Tragedy strikes, Peretz Uzzah, right? The Mishkan, something happened there, the Aron seems to be falling, Uzzah caught it, whatever happened there, Uzzah is killed. And David realizes that there's a mistake. But the Radak there and the other Mefarshim point out there was a terrible mistake that took place. The Aaron was on a wagon. Why wasn't the Aaron being carried on shoulders? Bakasev Yiso. It's Beferish Pasuk and Chumash. So the Radak says that maybe David miscalculated. Right? The Radak is not fearful of saying that David did something wrong. Somebody was killed and David was very upset. That maybe he thought that carrying the Aaron was all subjective. The Aaron has to be on shoulders when everything else is on wagons. But if nothing else is on wagons, so then the Aaron could be on wagons. That says the Radak was David's mistake. No, it was a din of Nesias Aaron. Objectively. So one could lumdicize and put this in and say maybe it was about these two dinim. David thought about din number one, Aaron, as part of all the Nesias Kalim of the Klei HaMikdash. And therefore, it all has to be the highest level. If there's no other Kalim, so you can put the Aaron in the wagon. But maybe the din, no, there's a second din of Nesias Aaron. It's a din of Nesias Aaron per se, not as part of the Kalim, and that was the mistake that was made by Peretz Uzzah. So David had to wait a little while longer in order to bring it back to have the parade later on in Sefer Shmuel Beis. Okay. So the Brisa says, we just read on the bottom, Rabbi Yossi says, three times in history, the Kohanim carried the Aron, and according to the Rambam, those are just examples of other times throughout history that, throughout history now, post-Mishkan, that the Leviim have to carry the Kohanim carry the Aron. Next, continuing the story. Once the Kohanim put their feet into the water, Chazru Hamayim La'achorehem. The water split. Right, the Yarday split. This does not get as much press as Kriyas Yamsuf, right, and Sefer Yehoshua. But here, the Yarday split. It was a little different, though, as it's described right now. Kriyas Yamsuf, the water split both sides. It was a Yam. It wasn't a flowing river, right? It was a Yam. So the water split, and they walked through on 12 paths, according to the sources, as is described elsewhere. But here, the water was flowing downstream. The water stopped. It stopped, and it went straight up. So it flew up. Right, up to Shamayim, right, and therefore the water that was past them flew down, and now they have space, they have dry land, the water flew up. That is how the Yarden here split. Chazra, Mayim, Lacharayim, why didn't they say Shira here? Good question, not for now. Right, why Dafka was, Kriyas Yamsuf, Zochet to Az Yashir, and the event here, was not. No question. Shene Emar, Ukivo, Hanose, Ha'aron, Ada, Yardin, Vagomer. When the ones who carried the Aron, went into the Yardin, they put their feet in. Vaya'amdu, Hamayim, Hayordim, Ilamala, Kamu, Neid Echad. The water that was going down went straight up. Went straight up, Neid Echad. Vakama Govan Shomayim. How tall did the water go? When it went straight up, how tall did it go? So, Machlokas. Shneimasar mil al shneimasar mil. It went 12 by 12 mil, meaning the size of the machane of Yisrael. Kenegan machane Yisrael. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says it went straight up, and that gave enough time for the entire machane to cross through. It went straight up that distance, that area, and the Klai Yisrael crossed, as is, as we will see by the Shem in a couple of lines. It's a machlokes, really, how, what way Klai Yisrael crossed, what structure they were in. Amr lo Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, Lidvarecha, one second, I don't understand that. Adam kalam, I am kalam. What flows faster, people or water? What goes faster? Havi Omer, Mayim kalam. Water goes much faster. So if you're telling me that the water only went 12 by 12 mil up, but water's going to get there faster than the people are going to cross the Yarden. So before they get cross, it's going to reach the height, it's going to come crashing down again. It couldn't have stopped at 12. Right, if the water went vertically up, so then it's going to get there too quickly, because people, imagine, and not just people, with women and children and baby carriages and schlepping everything, it's going to take much, whatever, however long you think it's going to take longer. Right, that's the message of going anywhere with children. Right, so here, imagine, they were crossing the Yarden. So Ella says, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, I think it was even taller. Ela melame shahayumayim nigdashin va'olin kikpin agabe kipin. Yoser mishlosh meos mil. It was a wave on a wave on a wave. 300 mil straight up. Very, very tall. Ad shero osan kal malchi mizrachumayrev. Until all the kings all over saw, the kings of the east and the west, they all saw up. And they came, and therefore we have alluded to that they saw many times kings from all over came to meet with Klal Yisrael. Remember, we had back on in the first parak when they were carrying Yaakov's Aron back, and it says there also all the kings came to. Just read you the lashon. Read the lashon. Amar Yochanan betchilas lo kodem. First it says who went first. Right, all of the Bnei Esa, Bnei Shua, Bnei Keturah, all of the everybody, all the kings from around came and put their crowns. How many crowns were there? If you remember, 36 and 36 krisus. Right, they were parallel to the krisus and the 31 kings in Canaan. That was afterwards, but this is before. This was in the Gemara says that there were the 36 kings that were tola shlosha mishishik sarim nitlu barona shol Yaakov. There were the 31 kings that Yeshua ben Nun conquered or was supposed to conquer in Eretz Canaan, but that's the earlier. But here too, all the kings, the Malchim Mizrach Hamayrev. Same lashon is used in Brachas when David HaMelech is saying all the other kings, Malchim Mizrach Hamayrev. starve, they wake up late, and they don't do anything all day, and I'm sitting here being busy, osik b'shulya v'shvir, to be metari shalabayla. But that's also, Mizra, call all the kings, call Machi Mizra Chamayrev. So this is Machlokas about how tall it was. Shne'emar, how do you know that all the kings were able to see it? It was so tall. Shne'emar, v'yikishmoa kol malchi ha'amori asher be'ever ha'yardein, yama, v'chol malchi ha'knani asher al ha'yam, es asher hovish Hashem, how Hashem dried out esmei ha'yardein mipnei b'nei Yisrael, ad avram, v'yimas levavam. They were scared, their hearts melted. V'lo haya bo'em od ruach mipnei b'nei Yisrael. And they didn't have any koach, they didn't have any ruach. That's it. So that's the description. And then also, Chavazona Amra. Remember when Yeshua sent the Meraglim, the two Meraglim to Yericho, beforehand, to try to see what the Anshe Kanan thought about Bnei Yisrael. So Rachav tells them, they're all scared. Rachav, who we know according to Chazal, eventually married Yehoshua. Amra l'shluche Yehoshua, ki shamanu eza shahovish Hashem esmei yamsu v'gomer, v'ksiv v'nishma v'yimas l'vavenu, v'lo kama od v'gomer. So again, that's how you see, that's how this Tana assumes it was so tall. The Mefarshim will quote a thought from Yecheskel Abramsky, the Chazon Yecheskel, where he discusses, why was it that by Kriyas Yamsuf we needed such Mesiris Nefesh? You had to go in up into the neck, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, and up until then, you know, nothing's happening. And here, the Kohanim put their toes in. Boom! It's split. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to. Is it just cumulative? This is the end of the process. So, 6 days where Vichesla Bramsky, know there's one difference. Same answer is given by the Arachayim HaKadosh. There's a Gemara in Chulin about one of the Tanoim also. A few times, split the Yardin. He split the Yardin to get a crew. There was somebody who was carrying matzah and go. So 3 times, and the Gemara even says he split it 3 times, and Moshe only split the Yardin once, right? So why was it so easy for him? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh about that Gemara and the Chazal Baraski about this Gemara says Schus HaTorah. Before the Torah was given, then there was the Mesiris Nefesh that you had to show. Once Klal Yisrael had the Torah, so then things were much easier. We had the Schus HaTorah that propelled us to our destiny, and therefore it was easier, so to speak, to have the Yardin split because we had the Torah that we had been learning for the past 40 years, and in Zman HaTanam, obviously, even longer. So that is why it was easier in a sense. That's Rabbi Chazkel Abramsky. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara now. We're continuing the Tosefta that we had earlier, right? The bottom of the today's daf started when we started with Tanur Rabbanan. That was the beginning of the Tosefta here in Paraches and Sota. So now we're continuing the Tosefta. We're darshaning the whole Tosefta. Oh, Dam B'Yardin. Why Bnei Yisrael was still in the Yardin? Amar Lahem Yeshua says to them, Amar Lahem Yeshua, Du'u Almatim over Mezah Yardin. Know why you are crossing the Yardin. Almanasha Torishu as Yoshvi Arz Bebechem. You're not going in just to visit. You're going in to drive out the inhabitants. Right? Yeshua said to them, remember the first Rashi in Chumash. Right, that's what he reminded them. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, this land is the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's giving it to Am Yisrael. Shene Emar. You will drive out. It says it in the Torah. Yeshua is quoting the Torah. V'gomer, im atem osim kein mutav, if you do that, great. V'im lav, and if not, it's very similar to Kafalei Markayigas. If you're ready to accept that charge, fine, and if not, boin mayim v'shotfin oseichem. The water will come and drown you. But it's said in an unusual oseichem. My oseichem, why does the Gemara say it like that? Osi v'eschem. Me and you. I mean, Yeshua is saying, I'm your leader. A leader of Am Yisrael is no greater than Am Yisrael themselves. So I'm here with you. And therefore, this is the plan that you have to be aware of. Step one, what happened in the Yardin. If you look at Rashi summarizes this Gemara in Parshas Matos, on this Pasuk, in Parshas Maseh. The Pasuk says, Vayidabar Hashem al Moshe barbos Moav. Al Yardin Yerecho. Dabrel Bnei Yisrael. V'yamart Aleihem. Ki atem over mesa Yardin el Eretz Kenan. When you go into the Yardin. V'horashtem es kol yoshvi ha'aretz. Mipnechem. You have to drive them out. V'ibadtem es kol maskiyosam. You have to destroy their idols. V'es kol tzalmim maseichosam. V'horashtem es aretz v'shavtem ba. And the next passage says, not only drive them out, but you have to settle the land. Ki lochem nasad es aretz l'reshes osa. That's the pasuk? Rashi Ramban. Rashi there just quotes our Gemara, that it's a tznai. If you drive them out, then you will be able to settle there. If you don't drive them out, you won't be able to be settled there. That's all Rashi says. So you don't know from Rashi one way or the other about what he feels about the Ramban. The Ramban in that pasuk says, This is the pasuk which is the source for the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Right here. It's not just a tnai, it's an obligation. Right? Why would you have to drive out a people and then not live there? Right? What would be the purpose? Right? We have to look at certain mitzvos. That's right? So what the Eretz Chemda writes, that a big mystery about why the Rambam does not count the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael separately. Almost all Achronim assume that the Rambam thinks it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, because there are halachas in Mishneh Torah that he bases on the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So there must just be a reason within Minyan HaMitzvos why the Rambam doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah. So the Avnei Nezer thinks that it's included in the mitzvah of driving out the nations. There's a mitzvah of driving out the Sheva Amamin. So why would you have to do that mitzvah? Drive him out and then go settle somewhere else? No, says the Avnei Nezer. It's obviously the beginning of the process. And therefore, the Rambam only counts step one of the process, not step two of the process, but it's all part of the mitzvah. But where in the Torah does it say, where's the mitzvah, where's the source? Right here. These psukim that the Gemara quotes here. It's really the pasuk following the one the Gemara quotes, but it's all the part of the process. Drive them out and settle there. Vishavtem, the Ramban, in many places, but right there in Parshas Maasei, Al Daiti Zu Mitzvah Asehi. Is it Mrs. Asay? Yitzave osam sheyeshvu ba'aretz v'yirshu osa, ki hi nitzna lahem, v'lo yimasu b'nachlas Hashem. Part of the mitzvah also is not to be disgusted in the land. Now let us say Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. There's something negative, right? That's the Meraglim problem, right? V'lo yimasu b'nachlas Hashem. And the Ramban also says, V'ilu yala al daitam, lo leches v'lechboch eretz shinar o eretz asher v'zulatan ulez yashiv sham. Right, if there's ever a havamina, if people think to go settle somewhere else, like in Uganda, or some other place that one might think of settling, yavro mitzvah Hashem, they will be mevatel this mitzvah. It's a bitul asay, because this is the chosen land by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the before history, before the world was created. This is the divine plan. And the Ramban says this is the mitzvah right here. And again, why does the Rambam not quote it? Much has been written about it. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't finish my sentence from before. So the Eretz Chemda says, the Avnei Nezer says it's based on Vorashtim Esaris, part of this mitzvah. The Eretz Chemda says it's part of the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon. Benching. What do we have to do in benching? The Gemara says in Brachas, there are four things you have to mention in benching, and if you don't mention it, you're not Yotzi benching Doraisa. What's the one of them? Eretz Yisrael. Eretz, Chemda, Tov, Rechava. Thank you for a wonderful land. What, thank you for a land that I can go visit? Says the Eretz Chemda. Obviously, if you have to have a Karas HaTov for a specific land, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you there. Right? That's the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, according to the Eretz Chemda. There are many other suggestions, but it's all based on this mitzvah that Yoshua ben Nun told them as they crossed the Yarden. This is what you got to know. So again, the explicit language of the Gemara is the Tanai. It's a Tanai. It doesn't say explicitly in the text, in the Gemara, that it's a mitzvah. It's a Tanai, but it doesn't not say, and it's you have to drive them out. As the Avnei Nezer says, why would we have to drive them out if we wouldn't have to be there? Okay, let's continue. Again, there's a lot more, but let's continue a little more. Odam b'Yarden. While he was still in the Yarden, we have to read the Yerushalmi, but in Tosfos, let's first continue this section. Odam b'Yarden amar lahem Yoshua. While they were still in the Yarden, Yoshua says to them, Harimu lachem ish even achas al shichmo lemispar shifte Yisrael. Pick up 12 stones. To understand all of the stone pillars and piles that Am Yisrael made, you have to read Psukim in Parshas Kisavo and Psukim in Yoshua, and then read all this Gemara. Right? Because it's not clear how many piles of stones that Klal Yisrael made. Be'ez Hashem, it will become clear on tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf, Alam and Hema Beis, the Gemara says there were 3 Avanim piles. So we'll have to get back to that, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow. But here, Yeshua ben Nun says, pick up 12 large stones, v'gomer v'ksiv, l'mantia zos os b'kir b'chem, so that those will be a sign amongst you, ki yishalum b'nechem machar le'mar, ma avanim ha'elo lachem, what are these stones, v'gomer, simon labanim sh'avru avos es ha'yardein. Right, this will be a simon. This will be a simon that they cross the yardein. Where were these stones set up? Where were they set up? So not clear. Not 100% clear. But we'll see. There was one set up in the Yardin itself. There was one set up at the foot of the Yardin. There was one set up in Gilgal. We'll have to see. Do we have a holiday that remembers crossing the Yardin? Is there a Yontif that we have a day to remember crossing the Yardin? No. We don't. We don't have. All we have is Shabbos HaGadol. Right? The tour quotes. Why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? Because the year they went out, Yetzias Mitzrayim was, if you do all the math, right, the day they crossed the Yarden was the 10th of Nisan. Right, that was what the Torah quotes. Another reason the Torah quotes, why? Because it was the day, the 4 days before the Korban Pesach, and they took the sheep and they tied it to the bed and the Mishrim. That was a nace. But according to all these Mefarshim, the problem still remains. So why don't we celebrate Yud Nisan? Why do we celebrate Shabbos? Because many years Shabbos is not Yud Nisan. But either way, but this is another one of the events that happened on Yud Nisan, which is also connected to that Shabbos HaGadol. That's the closest we get. Oda beYarden, continuing the Tosefta. While they were still on the Yarden, Amalem Yeshua also says to them, Su'u lachem mizeh mitocha Yarden, mimatzav raglei akonim, hochin, shtei mesri avanim. Again, take another 12 stones. Va'avartem osam imachem, vihinachtem osam bimalon asher talinu bo halayla. Put him in the place where you're going to sleep tonight. Vigomer, yachol b'chol malonu malon. You might think they have to take them wherever you go. Tamalomar, asher talinu bo halayla. No, just the first place you set up, that is where you are going to have to set them up. So as we will see, there was set up in the Yardin itself, there was set up afterwards, and there was set up in Gilgal. The Yerushalmi, look at Tosfos here. Odem b'Yardin amalam Yeshua, second Tosfos, Yerushalmi. Amar Reish Lakish, this is what we mentioned before. What else happened in the Yarden? When Yeshua ben Nun is talking to them in the Yarden, you have to conquer the land, and each one should do this. That's the moment that Arvus started. So our Gemara does not mention that, but it's the Yerushalmi. Amar Reish Lakish, by Yarden kiblu aleim es hanistaros. They accepted to be responsible for each other. Amar Lehem, that's what this land is about. Right? Communal and mutual responsibility. Amar Lehem Yeshua, im ein atem akablim es hanistaros, so Yerushalmi adds that in. If you don't accept, call yourself a Ravim Zelazeh, then again, I'm going to drown you. Amar Rabbi Simon bar Zvid v'ya'us. And it's appropriate. Meaning, it's true. Why? What's the proof that Arva started now? Teda l'chashuhu kain. Shahare achan chata v'ruban shal Sanhedrin nafla ba'ai. Remember after the amazing story of Yericho with the walls falling down, then the next battle they went to fight was Ai. Yeshua only sent a couple of his army because he thought it would be an easy battle, and they lost. They lost. And what happened? Because Achan had taken from the spoils, and all the Klai Yisrael were responsible for that. That only happened now. Says Tosfos, right? Says Rabbi Simon, Barazvid. That story proves that Arva started right now. Right, if you remember back in the Chatoim, in the Midbar, when the Mekoshesh, right, or the Mekalel did something, all of Klai Yisrael weren't punished. Just they were punished. All of a sudden, one Jew does something and other Jews are punished. Klai Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. Right, that's Nistaros. That's what the proof is. And then the Yerushalmi continues. Rav Shechter writes in the Hakdama to Be'ikvei Hatzon, he quotes a couple of examples, including the Marsha on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara says that Hashem told Yeshua, it's your fault what happened with Epi I. It's my fault. Well, why was it his fault? So the Marsha, why? Because you were machrim the city. I never told you. Right? What did Yeshua do? Don't take from the spoils from Yericho. Nobody's allowed to take the spoils. It's going to be like the Truma. Yericho is called the Truma of Eretz Yisrael, the first place we conquered, so nobody's allowed to take from the spoils. And then Achan took from the spoils, and the rest is history. So the Gemara says that Hashem never told Yeshua to be machrim it, so it was his fault. He shouldn't have said that. Ask the Marsha. But Moshe Rabbeinu was machrim. Moshe Rabbeinu was machrim in his time. So Yeshua was just copying what his Rebbe did. What was so difficult? The Marsha there in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet. Why was it so bad what Yeshua did? What's the answer, says the Marsha? Because there was a difference in history. Now there's Arvus. Beforehand, there was no Arvus. So one person takes on the spoil, so they're going to be punished. Yeshua, you think you're copying exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did? No. It's a different situation now. There's Arvus, like Tosfos says here. And therefore, it's not the same situation. And that's where Rav Shechter develops the idea that what we have to do in life is to be a continuation of what our forefathers did. We don't have to copy exactly what they did. Because sometimes if we copy what they did, that's going to be wrong because they're in a different situation. And he quotes the Medrash that says, Masi Agi Masi Lamasi Avosai. We always have to ask, when are my actions touching the actions of my forefathers? And the Sfas Emes notes the language, Masai Yagiyu, from a Lashon of Negiyah. My actions have to be touching, have to be a hemshech, have to be a link in the chain of my forefathers. Not, I don't have to copy exactly. Because sometimes if you copy exactly, then you're changing. Because they wouldn't do that in this situation. And he talks about Yeshua, and he talks about Yitzchak Avinu. Right? What did Yitzchak want to do? He wanted to go down to Mitzrayim. There was a famine. He wanted to do exactly what Avraham did. What does Hashem tell him? You're an Olat Tmimah. You can't leave. You can't leave. Why can't he leave? What do you mean? I want to do, Avraham did it. I want to do exactly what Avraham did. So Hashem says, no, different circumstances. We have to always look in the Torah to find out what are the present circumstances and how do we use the principles that were set done earlier and apply them properly here. And that's where he has the beautiful lashon that he quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, the difference between being a mechadesh and being a mishana. He says, we chas v'shalom can never be mishanim. We can be mechadshim. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a tremendous mechadesh, but he was obviously within the world of the Mesorah. He took the principles that were age old, going back on Moshe Rabbeinu, and applied them in a new way. He was mechadesh, but he was not a mishana. He did not was not mishana the principles, and that's exactly what sometimes we have to change our behavior a little bit in order to continue the values, right? Continue the values, right? Spreading Torah through the internet. Right? Hopefully that is mechadish and not a mishana. Right? Our great-grandparents didn't do anything like this. But that's that we have to try to apply the principles of Harbatzah's Torah and following halacha, in all the right ways. And that's what the Marsha says. That was the problem with Yeshua ben Nun. Right? In this circumstance. Right? Arvus was a big difference. You can't do exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Yitzchak, you can't do exactly what Avram Avinu did. Okay, let's continue. Okay. Weiter. Omar Rebbe, about 10 lines up. From the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda says, or Rabbi Yossi, Abba Chalafta, my father Chalafta. That's one of the examples always given, that you're allowed to call your father by his name if you give him a title. Avi Mori, Abba Chalafta. Rabbi Kiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch quotes, how could he keep another name? Right? No, Abba Chalafta. He calls him Abba. V'Rabbi Eliezer ben Masya, v'Chananya ben Chachinoy, Omdu al Osan Avanim. They stood on those stones that Klal Yisrael set up. V'shiarum kalachas va'achas shkula karboim saw. Each one of them weighed 40 saw, huge. V'gemiri, and we have a misora. D'teuna, d'midli, inishaklakasve, a load that somebody could lift up on their own shoulders. Tilsa, d'teuna have, is really only a third of the load that you could carry if somebody else helps you put it on your shoulders. Right? So therefore, they carry these stones that were 40 sa'ah, but really they probably could carry 120 sa'ah had they had help. So imagine what robust a state these Klal Yisrael were in. Mikanatam achashev, and if you do this math, use this math, once we're on the topic of lard, carrying large things, let's speak about the Meraglim. Mikanatam achashev le'eshkol, think about the cluster of grapes that the Meraglim brought back. Shine'emar, v'yisu v'amot b'shnoyim. Right, what does it say? They carried it on a rod with two people. So ask the Gemara, mimashma shine'emar b'amo, once you say there was a rod, eidi yodea she'b'shnoyim, obviously a rod needs to be carried by two people. So I would know that. So why does it say two people? Matam alom re'bishnayim b'shnei motos. So it must mean two rods. So two rods. So if there are two rods, so you know so far how many people are carrying this one cluster of grapes? Four. Because every rod have two people. So there are two rods. So at least four people were needed. And then add on, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, tortani, v'tortani de tortani. What does that mean? Rashi explains that there was an X, we might call it, under the rod. There were really four rods. Right, under, imagine two people carrying rods going straight, and then there were other, it was so heavy that they needed more support, so they had four other people holding rods, and therefore there were four rods holding up this cluster. So eight people. Haketzad, Shmona Nasu Eshkol. You needed eight people to carry this cluster of grapes. Echa Nasa Rimon, Ve'echa Nasa Te'ena. One carried the pomegranate, one carried the fig, and there you have the 10 Meraglim. Yeshua v'Kalev lo nasu klum, and Yeshua and Kalev didn't carry anything, right? The 10 and the 2. Iba yisemem b'shum tachashivi, either because they were chash, they were the most chashiv of the Meraglim, therefore they didn't have to. Iba yisemem shlo hayu bosa etza. Or they knew that this was going to be lara, and therefore they did not want to take part in Klal Yisrael here.
I remember something was said that Yeshua was number 5. In the list,
he was listed earlier, but in terms of who carried, the list wasn't based on who was more chashiv, or maybe it was on who was more chashiv beforehand. But right now they were chashivi, and therefore they didn't want to take part. Fine, pligi ba. So now we're going back to what we said earlier. We got a little sidetracked with the meraglim. We'll get back to the meraglim in a minute, Beit Hashem. But we're going back to the machlokas earlier. How tall was the water by the Yarden? 12 mil up or much taller? Pligi ba, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. Chad Omar. One opinion says l'divir Rabbi Yehuda kechanaya son avru. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says it was 12 by 12, so they crossed the Yarden as they were encamped. Right, and therefore, that's how tall it was. Right, and Tosis goes through a lot of these descriptions. No, they went more like a single file, and that's why it took much longer, and that's why it had to be much taller. That's one way to view the machlokas. The root is how they crossed. No, both say they went as they were encamped. Marsov, except that usually the Aron was in the middle, and here the Aron was in the front. But what's the machlokas if they both went kechanayasan? Marsavar Adam Kal, Umarsavar Mayim Kalim. One says, which goes faster? Does water go faster, or does people go faster? Ask Tosis. That's pretty obvious, right? Obviously, water goes faster. So Tosis was on the bottom. Dibur Maschel, Marsavar. No. Water goes faster when it's flowing normally downstream. But here, water is going up in the air against gravity. So now it's something to talk about. Now it's not clear that water would go faster. Near it says Tosfos. Ava bisha davar yadua shamayim kalim. Hayinu dafka kshein yardin kedei derech merutzasan. Aval kancha yu nigdashin va'olin. Shir kalos mayim. Shir kalos onim shavet. Then there's something more to talk about. If water's going up, well, we can't talk about water going up in the air. But that's what happened. That's what happened then. Period. Weiter. Shlach lecha anashim. Once we're on the topic of the meraglim, so let's talk about the meraglim for a daf or two. Shlach lecha anashim, send for you anashim. So again, after listening to some of the Parsha Shiurim on Parsha Shlach, what's the lecha, right? What does it mean, shlach lecha anashim? Was it Moshe? Was it Hashem? But here's the Gemara, right? Here's the Gemara that Rashi quotes a lot of it, ala Torah. Shlach lecha anashim, amrei shlakish. Shlach lecha midai techa. Lecha means it was Moshe's decision. Why? Would Hashem command Moshe something that he wants him to fulfill, which would end up in tragedy? So it can't be that Hashem really wanted him to do this. That's why we dash in lecha l'day techa. V'hainu dechziv v'yitav be'enai hadavar. And the thing was good in my eyes. When Moshe is reviewing Jewish history in Parshas Dvarim, he says it was good in my eyes. And v'am aresh lakish be'enai v'lo be'enav shel makom. Right, the big Shiloh, all the Mepharshim deal with the Rishonim. So if Moshe knew it wasn't a good idea, so then why did he do it? So that's the Ramban discusses this in the beginning of Shlach, where he talks about Klal Yisrael. What exactly was the Chait? And what was Moshe trying to do? So Klal Yisrael wanted to find out militarily. They wanted to find out a strategy. Yishuva Inyan Hazeh, says the Ramban, asking all the kashas. Ki Yisrael Amru Kedera Kalabon Lilachim Ba'aretz Nachriya. Sheshochem Lefneim Anashim Ladas Adrachim Umavav Harim. They wanted to know the terrain and to find out exactly the best way to figure it out. And that was good. That was Ishtavlos. They were doing that. Okay, no, Yatoba, Ene Moshe, Kiyakasuv, Lo Yisma, Bechomaisav, Alanes. Because we never are so mechalanes, as we discussed in Shul this past Shabbos. Yaakov Avinu says, Katonti, right? The source of Gemarish Brachis. We never rely on Nesim. But the problem was, later on, Moshe thought that the results would be okay. They would come back, they would see, and Hashem would help them out. But Moshe wanted them to tell all the great things about Amis, about Eretz Yisrael. But the Meraglim did not come back with such a report. They did not come back with the answer that Moshe thought they would come back with, and that is why there was a problem here. But again, other Mepharshim say it was all of the, it was the lack of emunah. That was the root chait of the Meraglim. Many different suggestions of, how these Nesiim, who were great people at the beginning, Lechora, how they did it, and what exactly was the chait. Some Rishonim say that maybe Moshe thought that if you would let them, Rashi I think also quotes part of this, then they would just say, okay, forget it, we trust you. No, like if you want to buy a car, can I drive it? Sure. Can I drive it up there? Yeah, sure. Oh, you would let me do it? Okay, it must be that you're telling the truth and I'm not even going to try it. So maybe that was Moshe Rabbeinu's strategy. He didn't think they would actually go through with it. Many different pshatim. V'yachru lanu etz ha'aretz. Amrev chiyabar abba. Meraglim lo niskabnu el labosha shel Eretz Yisrael. Even from the beginning, the Meraglim came to embarrass Eretz Yisrael. K'siv kacha v'yachru lanu etz ha'aretz. V'k'siv ha'asam v'chafra levano bosha ha'chama v'gomer. So in Yishayo, chafra means embarrassed. V'yelishem osam. L'mate ruven shemua ben zakur. Amrev yitzchak. Dover zem esares biyadenu. Me'avosenu. We have a Misora. Miraglim al shem ma'aseyam nikru. These weren't their real names. Besides Yeshua and Kalev, these weren't their real names. They're called al shem ma'aseyam. Right? Because names always reflect the mahus of the person. Va'adullo also biyatenu el achad. But we only remember one of them. We have a Misora that all the names reflect something negative, but we only remember one. Sisur ben Michael. You would think Michael is like a real one. It's the name of a malach. Right, Sisur ben Michael. Sisur shesasar ma'asav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They undermine the actions of Hashem. Hashem wanted to bring them in, and he undermined that. Michael sha'asa atzmo mach. It's as if he made Hashem weak and soft. Mich, mach, is soft, and atzmo means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, af anu nomar. We have another one. Nachbi ben Vafsi. Nachbi shehechbi dvar shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They hid the words of Hashem. Hashem says, you know, the land is beautiful, and they hid that. Vafsi shepisa al midos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They skipped over, and they didn't focus on the midos of Hashem. Period. They went up through the south, and they came to Chevron. It says vayavo. It should be vayavo'u. Plural. Amarava Malami Shapiris Kalev Meashes Amaraglim. Kalev separated. Vahalach finished Tatech al Kivrei Avos. And he went to Davin. At Kever Avos. Amar Lohan. Avos I bakshu alai rachamim. Avos I please ask for forgiveness. Ask for rachamim. Shein atzel meashes maraglim. Compassion. I need you to Davin for me. Save me from the ashes of maraglim. Yeshua, kvar bikesh Moshe lo rachamim. Yeshua didn't need to do this, because Moshe already davened for him. Shenei amar v'yikra Moshe lo shei benun Yeshua, ko shiach ha-miyatah samaraglim. V'haynu dechsiv, avdi kalev ekev haisa ruach acheres imo, v'gomer, he had a ruach acheres, he went to Chevron to daven, v'gomer, period. Big Shiloh, again, just to say the question, we don't have time to go through the answer, so why did Moshe only daven for Yeshua? Which left Kalev having to go fend for himself and go to Chevron. So if you look at the Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah, he has a beautiful piece about what the different strengths of Yeshua and Kalev were, and that's why Moshe knew we only daven had to daven for one of them. They had different kochos, and that's why he only davened for one and not the other. The Ben Yoyada here discusses, how could he daven, save me? Isn't there just Bechira Chafshus? Save me that I don't sin. So what is he davening for? Bechira Chafshus. So again, is that, are you allowed to daven to Hashem to help you not to sin? Or at least I'm going to try my best, but I need divine help. Right? But there actually are other Moshe Lelech, so. That's the answer. I'm going to try not to sin, but I need help. The Yitzhar is very strong. Right? Many different pshatim, given to that. Tosfos here discusses, we discussed this yesterday also on yesterday's daf. Are you allowed to daven to angels? That was yesterday's discussion. Are you allowed to daven to Niftarim, to daven for you? That's the Maharil, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. You have to daven to Hashem, b'schus the Niftarim. But that's not what most people who go to cemeteries do. They daven to their relatives, be a Melitz Yosher. So is there anything to rely on? So yesterday we said already Rashi, Malachim, but Tosfos right here says it at the favorite. All right, Gemara, what does Kalev say? Avosai, bakshu alai rachamim. My forefathers, the Gemara says a beferish, right? Daven for me. And Tosfos, Yibur Maschol Avosai. He says, doesn't the Gemara Bracha say the Mason don't know what's going on? So Tosfos says, V'yesh lomar died, they tefil Hashem ispalel modiim lahen. Yeah, they don't know until you daven. Once you daven, then they know what's going on. And Tosfos, of course, that's the Gemara in Tainis. On the fast days, they used to go to Beis HaKfar, Bate Kfaris, to daven. But there's much evidence in Gemara to daven to the Mason, to daven for you. So again, there might be a chilek. The Maharal, we mentioned, writes a chilek between Malachim and Niftarim. Niftarim used to be people, and they're in the Parsha of Chesed. That's different than angels, right? That were never in the discussion. So, but that is this is a crucial Gemara. That Kalev Davin, and the language is Bakshu Alai Rachamim. Just the last three lines, and then we'll stop. Talmai, some of the giants. I'm sorry, I skipped a line. The names of the giants. V'shem Achiman Sheshai V'tamal V'gomer Achiman Miyuman Sheba Achiv. He was the strongest of his brothers. Sheshai Shemesim Etz Aharis Kishchasos. He, when he stepped on the ground, he made huge holes. Talmai Shemesim Etz Aharis Tlamim Tlamim. He made furrows in the ground when he walked. Davar Acher Achiman Bana Anat Shishai Bana Elash Talmai Bana Talbush Yulideho Anak Shemanikin Chama B'komasan. All these giants built these huge cities, and they, as if they wore the sun as a necklace. They were so tall, it looked like the sun was lower than them, and therefore they were tremendous giants. Okay, we'll have to stop with V'chevron, and we'll continue with other issues related to the Meraglim, and then we'll get back to the Har Gizim and Har Eifel and the stones in the second half of tomorrow's stuff. Okay, we'll stop here.